Jack Flanders has finally found that land of the Lotus Jukebox he's been searching for. But as he walked the streets of the city, streets that were lit only by the silver rays of the moon, he encountered no one.
And at the far end of the room, on a golden couch, he sees, lying, a dead body, covered with a white pall.
Who can it be that lies here, alone in this empty hall?
And he moves on slowly, through the lights of the windows and the shadows of the walls, till he comes up to the end of the hall and stands beside the couch. And he stoops down over the body, and lifts up the edge of the pall, and uncovers the face.
Oh no! It's the Madonna Vampira!
Jack, so astounded, leaps into the air and utters a cry.
Oh!
And he lets his sword fall with a crash upon the crystal floor.
I left her living in Inverness, and I have traveled for how long and how far I cannot conceive. And here, at the end of space, I find her again, lying dead in this empty hall.
And so he stands, like a picture on a wall, gazing in silence at that Madonna face, while the night wears away, and the moon travels on. And the tears flow from Jack's eyes, and the nectar from the moonstones falls slowly, drop by drop, upon the ground. And the shadows move round upon the floor, and at last, after a long while, he comes to. And he lets the pall fall from his hand, recovering the Madonna face, and finally stoops and picks up his fallen sword, and goes slowly out of that strange hall. He sits down on the marble steps of the palace, and falls into a waking dream.
Now I'm inside. Totally inside your mind. You can do it too if you wish. Just feel the taut wires. Let your mind step out upon them. It's all right. I'll stay here in you while you step out and go visit me. Don't be afraid. Haven't you ever wondered what it would be like to ride around in someone else's body? You can be me, and I'll be you. Don't be so hesitant, I'll give you back.
That music, tormenting me still. And where else can it come from but that palace? And when I find it, I'll destroy it. I swear I'll destroy it once and for all.
And so once again he returns through the doors of that palace. But as he rushes through the empty rooms, he cannot locate the source.
It's just like Inverness. The music just hangs there in space. It's impossible to get any closer. Damn it! I'll chop it into little pieces. There won't be a tube left standing. It's gone again.
But as Jack turns, he finds himself at the end of a long hall. And there at the far end, sitting high upon a slab of green jade, is that Lotus Jukebox.
So, at last. Well, what shall I do? Shall I tear it apart with my bare hands, or kick it to pieces with my boot? Or shall I just cleave it in half with my sword?
But as he approaches, he notices something very strange.
That jukebox is just like the rest of this place. Still. Deserted. There are no lights. It's dead. It's funny. There's no plug and no outlet to plug into. I wonder, though. Let's see. No, there are no 50 songs here. Only chants and holy songs. Well, I think I still have one nickel left. Yeah. Something tells me that this still is not the jukebox that I'm seeking. Oh, well. Here goes. No Most of these holy songs I've never heard before. Oh, here's one that sounds interesting. I'll try this. A1.
As the Lotus jukebox begins to play, its colors radiate and dazzle his eyes and stream about the room and light up its walls with glory, like that of a setting sun. And as the music echoes through the empty rooms of the palace and out across the still gardens and down the barren streets of the city, Jack suddenly sees life moving around him. People talking, shouting, laughing in the halls and the gardens of the street of the city. And as he watches in wonder, and the music weaves its beautiful magic within that city, he sees a face moving among the others. A face that he's seen before. A proud, strong, weathered, yet warm and gentle face of an adventurer. The face is that of Lord Jowls.
Lord Jowls! Lord Jowls, stop! Please, stop! It's your nephew, Jack!
And as he runs through the crowds of people shouting the name of his uncle, tears of happiness stream from Jack's eyes. And it seems to him that all that had happened had meant to happen, and all the pieces were about to fall into place. And finally, the old adventurer stops and turns to face this young man who calls his name. And as Jack runs up, about to throw his arms about his uncle, the music stops. The people fade away. And once again, he stands in the silent, empty streets. Our young adventurer, Jack Flanders, has found his way to the land of the Lotus Jukebox. He wandered through an empty city until he came upon a palace. And there in the palace, he saw lying dead a body covered with a white pall. When he lifted the pall, he saw the face of the Madonna Vampira. Stricken with grief, he stood there until finally he returned outside and sat upon the marble steps of that strange palace. Then he heard that familiar song from out of another era. He rushed back into the palace, bent upon destroying that jukebox that tormented him so. But once again, the music appeared to float in the air, and he could not locate its source. After giving up, he came upon yet another jukebox, that which he had seen earlier with the goddess in the boat of sandal with the silver oars. He raised his sword above his head as though about to cleave the machine in half, when he noticed the jukebox had only chants and holy songs, not the music he had sought. He had but one nickel and inserted it and selected A1. As the Lotus jukebox begins to play, its colors radiate and dazzle his eyes and stream about the room and light up its walls with glory, like that of a setting sun. And as the music echoes through the empty rooms of the palace and out across the still gardens and down the barren streets of the city, Jack suddenly sees life moving around him. People talking, shouting, laughing in the halls and the gardens of the street of the city. And as he watches in wonder, and the music weaves its beautiful magic within that city, he sees a face moving among the others. A face that he's seen before. A proud, strong, weathered, yet warm and gentle face of an adventurer. The face is that of Lord Jowls.
Lord Jowls! Lord Jowls, stop! Please, stop! It's your nephew, Jack! Lord Gels!
And as he runs through the crowds of people shouting the name of his uncle, tears of happiness stream from Jack's eyes. And it seems to him that all that had happened had meant to happen, and all the pieces were about to fall into place. And finally, the old adventurer stops and turns to face this young man who calls his name. And as Jack runs up, about to throw his arms about his uncle, the music stops. The people fade away. And once again, he stands in the silent, empty streets.
So close. So close, and he vanishes just like a mirage. Oh, I don't understand any of this. The only thing I can hope for is somehow to find another nickel around somewhere.
And so Jack searches the streets, but no coins are to be found. And as he is about to lay down, exhausted and in despair, a thought suddenly flashes upon him. He takes off the pith helmet and the strip of felt along the inside band.
Before Lord Gels faded away, he seemed to point to this pith helmet, as if he were trying to tell me something. I wondered. Yes, by golly. There is something. Sure enough, it's a nickel. Just as though Lord Gels was attempting to tell me something.
Jack races back to the palace, through the rooms, avoiding the hall where the body of the Madonna Vampira lay, and finally up to the jukebox. Once again, he inserts the coin. And as the box again lights up, he pushes the buttons A1. And once again, the music flows from the old Wurlitzer, and the lights revolve around the hall, and the voices return, and the city flows with people, all exactly as it had been before. And exactly as it had been before, Jack sees the face of his uncle, and again he chases through the crowds, shouting, and again his uncle stops, and yes, again, as he is about to embrace those broad shoulders and weathered face, the music stops. And the streets are bare once more.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Yes, I think I understand it now. Instead of playing A1, I should really have chosen the next selection, A2. And then I would have reached him. Oh, wow, I really blew it this time.
But would Jack have reached him? Or is this still another level within a level that Jack has yet to experience?
Where can I possibly find another nickel except back in Inverness? And how am I going to get back over that sea and that desert or through that god-awful woods?
Again, he had wandered back to the palace and now stands outside by a pool. And on the surface of the pool, dragonflies dart about. And he looks between the lily pads and lotus blossoms that float there and sees his reflection.
I've had it. My head aches. My heart is heavy. For I've endured a lot these past days.
And so Jack goes down the steps and plunges into the waters of the pool. And as he rises from the water, he can hear the current of a fast-flowing river. He looks up and sees the open door and the steps that lead down from the tower to the river. And his flesh creeps, and his wet hair stands on end, as water streams from his body and doubt bewilders his soul.
How can this be? I'm back at the tower. This is the very spot where I first saw the old ferryman coming across the river. I'm right back where I started. Monday, Monday.
Of these last 7 days were gently and lovingly lifted from an old Hindu myth called The Descent of the Sun.